Welcome to HBO Lax. This is Lizzie Pace.
This is Kathleen Dudas.
We're back, baby. Woo. HBO Lax, our standard fare. We haven't done one of these babies since True Detective.
Since True Detective episode 5 when I was on episode 6.
Yes, because Chad came on for the finale.
Lizzie, do you want to know something?
I backed up everything that you said.
I love that. That was amazing. That was truly a dream. Thank you, Chad, for coming on and being the surrogate me. It was so gratifying. I was editing it and I was so happy. But you know what, Lizzie? Guess what?
You're like, yes, exactly.
I have not watched that episode. I just listened to it. Listened to your guys' recap.
And I Catherine, that is a confession. Wow. Didn't read the book. Just read the podcast about the book.
Because I didn't need to because I knew Chad was doing it. And so I just edit. I listened. That's how I know what happens. I listen to it while editing.
And look, I understand. And I think
I didn't have to waste my time. Sorry, guys. I'm sorry.
I'm hopeful that this one will be better. So far, I feel like it is better.
Oh, I love it. No, I'm so excited. I absolutely love
okay,
it.
Okay, great. It got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh,
I'm talking, of course, about Shogun.
Shogun.
Which is in the U.S., playing on Hulu. I think it's on Disney Plus and the others. And today we're going to be recapping episodes 1 and 2 because we're trying to do a little
catch up.
Opposite of Lax. We're trying to do a little fast catch up to get
intense.
Get on the weekly schedule with Shogun.
Yes.
Which 3 episodes have already come out. So we're going to do 2
right
in this one.
In this one.
And then a third. Mm-hmm. And then the 4th when that comes out.
Wow.
Tuesday?
They never said.
And so that episode, so the 4th episode will come out Wednesday.
Look at us. We are just
cranking
them out. We are a factory.
We took a little break, but now we're zooming. Catherine and I are recording on a Saturday right now, and she is in bed.
We have to be honest. I am in bed.
If you couldn't tell from the lying down audio.
I'm in bed.
We partied last night.
We partied last night.
I am in the paint.
I still feel like I am recuperating from my intense filming project. I still feel like I could sleep for 1 million years and driving 20 hours because it was like 1 million 12-hour days in a row. And then I had to drive 20 hours. And so I think I'm still.
That's too many hours.
It's so many hours alone. It was crazy. So now I am just. I'm here, but I'm so happy to be back in LA. I'm so happy to be back doing HBO Lax with you guys.
I'm so happy you're back. It was so sad for me.
Oh, it was so sad
but
to be
I'm
away.
Very proud of what you've accomplished.
Thank you.
And
oh my gosh,
yeah, I can't
crazy.
Wait to see your movie.
I'm excited.
Any iteration.
I can't wait. I can't wait for you to see it.
Should we just get into it? We're finishing up The Curse on Lax Max.
Yeah, so
we have 2 more episodes of that, which are coming out on Fridays. And the finale, we're going to have Chad back on because he demanded to. I'm terrified of what that finale is going to be. The show escalates every week.
People told us to do this show because of the finale. Like they were like, I think we decided to do this show right when the finale aired and they were like, you have to do it because the finale was so crazy. So it has been hyped up.
Oh,
I am excited.
I mean, that's too much hype.
I know. Well,
but also what is it going to be?
I don't know. I'm
like,
scared.
What do you think it actually, well, we should save this for the
we'll
curse.
Say,
episode, yeah. I'm like,
what is it going
to
be?
Let's talk about Shogun because we actually have a lot to do today.
We actually have a lot to do. We should start right now. Guys, I am so excited to talk about the show. I know I was hard on True Detective, but I'm so excited to, I'm excited to talk about this. I really enjoyed these 2 episodes and I love
me
a historical fiction. I don't know if maybe this is real. I don't know, but it's great. Is it real?
I have heard. So I know someone who has read the book and the book is like 12,000 pages and our book person said that basically like when they get to Osaka, that's like 300 pages in. And I'm like, wait, what? They've
That's
like got through
wild.
So much plot.
They have.
But also that it's apparently the most historically accurate fiction in the about this time period.
Oh, I love that. So I feel like I'm learning. I want to say I'm just so excited. It was so fun. It's so fun to learn about this time period, to learn. I love like thinking about this time period where they're literally drawing up, like figuring out what the world looks like. Like, it's amazing. It's so cool to learn about.
The map drawing scene.
The map drawing scene was amazing.
Was maybe my favorite. That was so crazy.
It was so crazy. It was also my most unrelatable moment because how could you know how to draw a map?
They'd be like, this is, like, ma'am, I think this man is crazy. This can't possibly be the world.
I would draw the map and they'd be like, okay, what's that? I'd be like, Florida. And they're like, what's over here? I'm like, Florida. And they'd be like, what's there? I'm like, Florida.
I'd be like, oh yeah, yeah. There's definitely more continents than are here, but they'll come to me.
They'll come to me. I got four down. I think there's three more. Yeah.
Like, I didn't know there was going to be a test. Like, God.
I'm a hostage and I have
What is this, my history
hostage?
Podcast all over again?
Oh, my God. The Lexers are going to drag us for that.
Oh, my gosh. Look, did I know who invented electricity versus the phone? No.
Who would know that?
Is
no one
that
knows that.
Necessary for comedy? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I
don't know. And for being hot, we said so clearly, we were like, we're hot and we're funny. I don't know what, nowhere
did
we say
we're
smart.
That is not getting us as far as it should be.
It should. What is going on, Lizzie? You would think in this world that men only want that, but then they get mad at us for being dumb. I'm like, don't you want us dumb?
We start. People are dying in the ship. It looks abandoned. It looks like it smells horrible. Mm-hmm. Our book consultant said the bad smell of the people was really reiterated in the book.
Oh, okay.
The year is 1600. Portuguese Catholics profited from trade in Japan and hidden from enemies, the European Protestants. Okay, so this is, I guess it makes sense that they hid part of the world or their past and
How
stuff.
How fascinating. It's so
fascinating. But I would never go out in a boat like that, just hoping. Crazy.
Lizzie's looking at me with the most incredulous look on her face, like, how could... like, no, you're right, I agree.
What, with all men
and a wooden boat?
Absolutely never.
A wooden boat with only men. There's no woman to be like, hey,
wait,
maybe we should go
the wooden part matter.
I think a wooden boat, that it's so like flimsy, like in a, you know what I mean, like a steel
oh
boat.
Like you would want it to be like a Titanic boat.
Yes,
a
yes,
steel boat,
you know what I mean. Yeah, they only had wooden boats. That feels so, that ups your risk factor by like a billion. And God, remember,
and
the,
then you get scurvy,
you get scurvy.
We see in Osaka the reigning Taiko, the leader, died, leaving a young heir who was too young to rule. So in the interim, five warrior lords are in a struggle. And we see one of our main characters, John Blackthorne, and he finds this white sand in a bottle, which I guess is something you do on a boat to see, to guess where you are. You're like, well, the bottom is
that
like
was
this.
Interesting. That makes sense. They're like, oh, and the sand being white, they're like, oh, it must be like, because that's how you know, because it's like tropical, whatever.
That's smart.
They're like, we'll reach the Japans. They keep saying, we'll lay claim to that dark land. Then it's back to Holland, rich, having gone round the world.
But the captain is like, that's the scurvy talking. We started with five ships and 500 people. I'm old, so I know to draw the line. And don't worry about death. It's nothing to fear. It's just like a soft wind.
Wow.
Death is just a fart. What are you worried about? And then John Blackthorne walks out and the captain, we hear a gunshot. So not looking good for John Blackthorne.
We are introduced to a big theme in this show is death and dying honorably. And what is it like the moment before death? And should you just kill yourself and all that stuff? So it's very interesting that, and I didn't realize until now. I'm
death
like, they
is
start
very present.
It's a very big theme in this show. It's very interesting. They do, and it's, I think it's a very smartly told. Can I just say up front, this show is shot beautifully. This show,
it's gorgeous.
The color is amazing. The coloring is amazing. The cinematography is amazing. The directing is great. The acting is great.
The costumes are amazing.
The costumes are incredible. Hair and makeup is amazing.
It's literally, it's so Game of Thronesian.
I'm so happy.
Like, it really is the perfect show for us.
Yeah.
And I did watch the first episode of Regime and I did not like it.
Okay.
I did not get what they were going
so much for doing that work for this podcast, because if we had just picked
it, I think you should make like True Detective finale and don't watch it.
Pull a True Detective, a TD finale. That's what we're gonna call it when you don't
watch
something.
That's so funny to me to watch a whole mystery show and then just not watch.
Nope, because I heard what you guys talked about. I was like, okay, I get what happened. I would much rather learn about it that way than hearing you and Chad talk about it. That's like, I wish I could have listened the way I wish I could have consumed True Detective by listening to you and me or you and Chad talking about it.
Oh,
except I had to be the one to do it. But yeah, so.
We see this villager who finds the boat, and then we see this army of guys on the sand, and they investigate the ship. They see gross teeth, which I guess are signs of starvation. And John tries to run, but there's too many of them, and the people find a mine, like a round mine looking, it's a cannonball. That's what must be what it was. Mm-hmm. And we see the titles, Anjin Chapter 1, which we later means pilot.
Mm.
We see this kid bring his dad this falcon, and we meet Torandaga, our other lead character, and he is bringing his troop to Osaka Castle because Lord Ishida wants him to confine himself. So he's like kind of turning himself in.
Mm-hmm. The shot that introduces him is breathtaking. Him on that white horse with his cool hat and then like in this beautiful, it's just gorgeous introduction to this character. Really loved it. The Falcon thing was cool. Seeing
I love
all these
the guy
costumes.
Who plays Torunaga. He's so good.
Seeing historically what people in Japan wore in the 1600s. I'm like, I don't think I knew what that looked like until watching this. And I love learning that. It's so fucking cool. It's just so fascinating. The Spain and Portugal, like taking, you know,
part, totally.
Just all the colonialism in action, seeing the colonialism and then seeing the country that is that is the potential victim of the colonialization being like, what the fuck? You you can't just what?
Yeah, wait, they saved you. We're getting ahead of ourselves in that scene, but they own Japan?
They're like, wait, we're right here. It's like, what are you talking about?
I called shotgun.
Oh my God, white people?
There's all these people helping Torunaga get dressed. And he's talking with this guy who says, this place has become a real shithole. Welcome to Osaka. And we see Ishido greet them and says, you're accumulating power when Taiko said not to. For example, the 6 marriages you consented to. Nice. Let's go. So they're like,
Sister
you're becoming
much?
Too powerful of the 5. We're all supposed to be equal or whatever. And he's like, I never broke the peace. And they're like, well, what about the heir's mother? You've kidnapped her in your castle today. He's like, what? No, my daughter-in-law is pregnant. It's not a hostage any more than I am here. And this is something that I love that they do in all of these scenes, is they're never saying kind of directly what they mean. Because he is a prisoner here. Mm-hmm. And there's all this, like, underspeak of, like, what they're actually saying, but what the
Love
pomp
it.
And circumstance, like, allows them to say.
It's so cool. Ugh, you're so right. Good. It is the opposite of Silo. It's
Get him.
Well, I was just thinking of, like, usually, like, I was going to say that usually when it's when I see a TV show that's adapted from a book, I'm excited because I mm-hmm. guess I just trust authors more than TV writers.
Yes. I do, too. No, I have the same thing. I'm like, oh, you assume that the story is going somewhere. Mm-hmm. It's already been published. Some editor has, like...
Good point. Good point.
Agreed to it. By the way, Dune 2 was amazing.
I'm excited to see it.
Everyone should go see it. Although a couple of my friends said they really didn't like it last night, and I'm feeling a type of way. I've seen it twice already.
Oh, that's so nice. I'll definitely see it. I'm excited. So yeah, this whole scene is so interesting. This, like, we're learning more about the Game of Thronesian. Is someone gonna become the quote unquote king, but they're all supposed to not.
Shogun.
The Shogun.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. The way they talk to each other is so good.
And it's very Game of Thronesian in that, like, you can be the next in line for the throne, but, like, people might just kill you, like this child. Mm-hmm. And we do see children get killed in this, so yeah.
They don't care.
An innocent.
That's so interesting.
We see this guy who I called Torunaga's assistant, but that's definitely not his job. He gets pissed that
assistant regional manager
Ishido is calling him a traitor, and he jumps up, and they're like, "Oh my god, how could you have jumped up?" And he's like, "Okay, can I seppuku?" And this was my least relatable moment of the week. Look, I know this is a cultural thing, but.
This guy,
what,
making a work faux pas and immediately wanting to kill himself after is my most relatable.
No. No, Catherine, no.
Well, I wouldn't do it, obviously, because that's crazy, but...
But it would do anything.
But if you think about it, that scene is so funny. He speaks after, and he's like, don't do that. He's like, oh, okay, sorry, I'll just kill myself and my line. I mean, it's horrifying because of what actually happens. But, like, I'll kill my fucking son because I spoke out of turn. And so again, they're introducing us. This was, like, a good way to introduce us to this concept that is important to their culture, and they're going to explore more. Is this, you know,
death is the only punishment?
Mm-hmm. And also, like, death is the only punishment, and you choosing your death is, like, honorable. Like, it is honorable to also choose your death, it's honorable to kill yourself. Which is, like, honestly, I feel like Japan must, like, be one of the only cultures that had that, like, way of thinking about it, because I feel like a lot of cultures it's stigmatized, but
they shame it.
And so that's really interesting. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, there's, like, assisted suicide is, like, okay in some states now, but there's all these crazy things with it.
It's very interesting.
Doesn't seem as chill as one might think.
Yeah,
we get Torunaga gets a message from a bird. Yes.
Yes.
We're using the falcon to deliver messages.
Let's do it, man.
And he's got his little birdies. And we see who is he talking with in this one? Oh, wait, that guy, Hiromatsu?
Yeah.
I think. About how they're going to be voted to be executed. And
oh yeah,
and Torunaga's like, oh, you need to go check out this barbarian ship. So I guess this must have been in the little bird note.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, what? We're about to die. Why are you going to make me go check out this barbarian ship? But mm-hmm. Torunaga is playing 10-dimensional chess.
Yeah, this was a beautifully shot scene too.
Oh, so cool. Leave everything on board. My uncle's gonna inspect. I sent word to Yabushige. And we see John and John and his sailor friends in a well jail or something. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to figure out what's going on, but they can't understand anything. John is like, oh, Portugal has a secret empire in the east. Mm-hmm. But they are basically pretending to be merchants that that got lost, yeah, as opposed to people who we later learn they're supposed to go torch all the Catholic Portuguese places.
Yes, they are right to lie and say they're merchants, because they just want to defeat the Portuguese and Spain at their own game, find the secret passage, the Magellan, whatever, or do the whole... Yeah, and it's so interesting. Yeah, cut out the middleman.
You know what I mean.
You know what I mean? Yeah. The Magellan. And it's just so interesting that there was a time in history, Lizzie, where humans, and it makes sense, had to be like, huh, what's over there? Like, just thinking about that time period is so crazy to me, because there was a time you just, like, didn't know. You had no idea what was happening over there. That's so crazy.
You know what it is? Those people now are like big wave surfers, you know? Because I'm like, why would you ever cross the ocean? But right. I'm like, I watched the 100-foot wave documentary. That guy is not afraid of death.
No, he some isn't. People aren't. Yeah.
And he has determined this is his thing. Mm-hmm. It's his purpose. And I guess if you were an explorer, you might do
would
that.
Would you die for podcasting?
No. For basically nothing.
That's a good Luca. Answer. Correct answer. Except Luca. Happy birthday, Luca.
Happy birthday, baby.
Happy birthday, this angel.
He's so tuckered because we ran him around.
He had such a good day. As he just lifted his little head to say, hi, are you guys talking about me? Anyway.
Oh my gosh, we get this scene. Very dramatic. This woman, Fuji, they're demanding the baby from her, and she holds a knife to her own neck. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was very...
I just love her. I love her. It's
powerful.
I love it. I mean, I love her. Yeah.
And we get our introduction finally to Mariko, and... She explains that her husband humiliated himself in front of Ishido, and they're going to kill the baby. And Mariko is like, I'm really sorry for you. I respect your actions. Like, come back off the ledge, sweetie. But, like, if someone's going to kill your baby, wouldn't you just run away? Why would you stay here?
No, I think she's right that she's outnumbered. But I thought it's so funny for Mariko being like, hey, totally. I'm so sorry. We do have to kill. This scene is so crazy because we're supposed to see Mariko.
We do have to kill the baby.
I'm sorry. He's right that we have to kill the baby.
She seems like a hero, but
exactly.
Yeah.
She's like coming in as this like, but we're supposed to think she's like helping, but she's actually just being like, yeah.
Like de-escalating.
She's just de-escalating.
She's like, yeah, I do know what they're going to do. She's and like, yeah, I know.
And she says, I know you feel the pull of death, but you do not.
And it pulls at me strongly.
And basically like, I know you want to kill yourself, but you're not supposed to because your purpose in life is to stay here and serve your Lord. And she's like, I'm not strong.
And she's
like,
I'm not
you.
Strong like you. I can't stay in the world without a purpose. Ugh, heartbreaking.
Heartbreaking. And also, they're killing her baby for no reason. It's so stupid. Guys, I know this.
Paw, baby.
I know it's controversial. Hot take, but I'm against this. I don't think. Hot take.
I agree. Look at us. Look at and us. For all the people out there who are going to support this baby death.
You guys are awful.
Take a look in the mirror.
Look in the mirror. Maybe you shouldn't kill a baby just because you spoke out at work. Because you said at work, you were like, hey, maybe. And you tried to defend your boss.
He's not a traitor.
I love when Mariko says to the guy.
He's faithful.
The guy, the husband is like yelling at her. And she goes to the husband being like, hey, like you're the reason her baby's dying. Maybe you don't get to speak harshly right now. And he was like, oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. She's powerful.
Yeah.
Powerful like, right off the bat. She literally takes this knife from her. And she demands that she's allowed to be the one to carry the baby to the baby's death.
Oh, it's
very
awful.
Benevolent.
I was so sad. The baby was so cute.
The baby was so cute.
Oh, my God.
The baby was unreal. This was horrible.
It was horrible.
And we see Mariko collapse around the corner. She's sad. Mm-hmm. And we see this weird flashback of a guy. I'm guessing this is like her dad or... Or I don't know who, but she holds a cross necklace and says, "Forgive me for my sins, God." Mm-hmm. And we're like, okay. We're like, and oh, this is a very, this show has a lot of religion in it.
Very interesting.
This, it's a big theme.
And it makes sense because religion was so, religion was one of the main drivers, it still is, but one of the main drivers of war and conflict, like since the beginning of mm-hmm. human existence. Since the, since we figured out how to do a ritual around a fire, people have been fighting over religion. And it's interesting that we're now in a time period where things are more driven by like, money and like, I don't know, technology. Still religion. Definitely, but not as much. But for all of human history, because people didn't know science, so they were like, hey, my magical God is definitely real. Because have you seen the sky? It rains sometimes. Like, of course my God is mm-hmm. real. And then everyone else is like, I guess so, but maybe mine when it's so, it's always so funny to me though when Protestants and Catholics, the whole Protestant and Catholic fight thing.
I know that.
And he brings it up. That
it
guy,
is kind of funny.
And the guy
I'm sure
calls
there are
out.
Differences, but
the guy calls it out. We'll get to it. We'll get to it. So good. So many good scenes.
So many. And then we get this big shot of the army, which was very like walking, and it was very Game of Thrones or Walking Dead-esque mm-hmm. shot. So pretty. And we see people cowering from this guy, the uncle, who is wearing a bird jacket. And you're like, okay, this guy, I mean, he's got a cool jacket. And we cut from him to this lady and her son. And she basically says, you need to suck up to your uncle. He has never been here, even since your dad died. You need to suck up to him so that he can give you a big fief. And this was my most Succession moment of the week.
Oh.
This was just like in the pilot of Succession when Greg's mom told him to suck up to his rich.
You're so right.
We see, okay, then we get to the hole, yeah, and they're not understanding. He's like, I'll go up alone. But then the guys come down.
This was
they
funny.
Start fighting.
This was so funny.
They're both screaming savages at each other.
So funny. Like, it,
and
again,
they take a hostage.
They take
the
a hostage.
But John goes up.
John is our sexy.
I mean,
pilot.
You said it.
I did say it.
Needed to be said.
It needed to be said. And you know what? I am here.
It's your job, so I was waiting. It,
we both know it is the unwritten rule of this podcast. It is my job to say it first, and I'm brave, and I'll say it. Hot man.
You are brave.
Thank you. And I loved the scene of them being like, what are you saying? I don't get what you're saying. Because again, it's so funny. Human beings are so funny. And also, how is it possible? Okay, I know I'm just doing stoner talk, but like, how is it possible? How is it possible that groups,
the best talk,
Homo sapiens, like broke away from each other? They developed their own language separate from each other and then came together and they spoke different languages, but they could still kind of understand it. They could learn each other's languages. Like, that is
they can
amazing.
Learn the language of pissing on each other. Then
exactly,
that's a universal
that's
language.
Universal. When a man grabs his crotch, the other man goes, "Oh, I know what you're saying. You want to piss on me?"
They go, "Wow, this
and
is
I'll piss on you."
Disrespect.
Yeah, they're like, "I know what that." Yeah, it's a grabbing your cock is a universal sign of disrespect. Isn't that? But isn't it crazy? Isn't language insane, guys? Can we all just be like, language is crazy? It's crazy. And there was a time where we didn't understand that
it
other
is
people
crazy.
Like spoke different languages. Like we didn't understand that. Anyway.
And also just, you know, Japan being an island and mm-hmm. so far away from Europe where mm-hmm. John is from. And you're like, though 1600 England.
Yeah. And for like,
probably looks pretty different.
It's fascinating. Like, how cool is that? Like different human beings who are like the same Homo sapiens can like develop two different, like such different cultures. Like, it's fascinating. Ugh, I love it.
But with some commonalities, sex and violence.
But they have been, we do see that Japan has been like semi-colonized by Portugal because there are Catholic/Christian, mm-hmm. Portugal's Catholic. So Catholic Jesuits that have converted some of the citizens And
that how do you feel about the portrayal of your fellow Catholics?
It's funny. I have no idea. It looks so different. Like the guy with the brown, the like thing around his head. I've never mm-hmm. encountered anyone like that. So to me, I'm like, it's like, it looks like a different religion. Cause I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about. But it is really interesting. So
Friar Tuck.
Friar. Yes.
Martin.
Friar. Yes. A friar. So they bring the pilot, John, hostage, and they go down, and this guy comes up to him, and he's like saying to him, he's like, are you a Christian? Is he a Christian? And then he's like, and then he makes the sign of the cross, and then an army guy chops his head off in my goriest moment of the episode. Because, wow, did
that
we see it?
That was horrifying. And we also see, like, in the background, like, some women gather around like the headless man.
And this is when we see,
like, cry. It's horrible.
We see John realize what he's up against.
That's casual.
Yeah. And that needed to happen in front of John then. So he knew, he was like, okay, these are the stakes and this is what these people will do to me. Mm-hmm. And then a priest comes up to him who speaks kind of bad Japanese and is like, okay, and he's like, you'll translate for me and this barbarian. And this is when this show does something very interesting, Lizzie. This show, when they are speaking Portuguese to each other, they are really speaking English.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very interesting choice. I was like, why not just speak Portuguese? Because
is speaking English.
I guess so. It was strange though.
And I guess like Portuguese isn't as common.
Maybe it was hard to find an actor who could do both, I guess.
But
he could have just learned it. No, this was a very, because
I don't know.
If there wasn't already Japanese being used as a language in this show, I would be like, if they were, for whatever reason, they had a British accent too, but we're all just speaking English, then I'd be like, fine. But because
time I watched it, I did watch the dubbed version.
Oh, really?
And let me tell you, when you watch the dubbed version, everyone is your Nepo baby.
Oh, that's so funny. Everyone
They're
is
just the... not as good as the main actors.
Oh, no, of course not. No, it's so, but that's the thing. I'm like, because they already have one language, they have two languages. They were like, they didn't want three languages. It just like, it was a choice that made me think, that pulled me out of it. Cause I was like, but why? It just felt interesting to me. So anyway, I just wanted to talk about that choice because I thought that was interesting and surprising.
Yeah, I would guess it just has to do with like,
they didn't want another
everyone
language.
Everyone needs to speak Portuguese. I don't know.
It's interesting.
But our book person said that a lot of it, I guess you're from John's POV, so it's just like he doesn't understand what anyone is saying around him.
Okay, interesting.
You know, especially at the initial where there's not really a translator. Mm-hmm. We then get this penis scene where that guy's like, wait, is this Japan's? Is this the Japan's? This is how you treat your guests. Well, okay. Then this is a bastard country. I piss on this damn country. And he grabs his pee. And I thought this was going to be my P word of the episode, but it wasn't. Mm. And then the other guy literally pees on him. Is like, do you understand? Mm.
Showing him his boss.
It's not looking good for John Blackthorne.
Not looking good. Oh, sorry. I went way past this. I had just...
Guy pees on him. They drag John through the streets. Why is he a prisoner? This guy prays. And then this guy beheads him. And we get this priest translator who instantly hates him and calls him evil. He's going to make death. He's a pirate and bad man, murdered Japan and Portuguese. And John's like, you told them Portugal's the only flag in Europe, didn't you? I'm calling for Paulie.
So funny.
Very
Pirates of the Caribbean. We're not in England anymore.
That's where I learned parlay.
Oh, I don't know parlay. This is when we were introduced to the Portuguese and England do not like each other because of religion. Protestants and Catholics hate each other, and that was our scene that was being like, you guys should know this. And then
should have read the book. Moment of the week. Remember, we lost that award. We should bring that back.
We should.
Torunaga and the young child who's supposed to be the leader.
Yeah.
And we get this backstory of Torunaga. The child's like, "Did you ever play this game when you were a kid?" And he's like, "When I was your kid, I was too busy being a fucking hostage until I was traded amongst all my enemies. So you should go have your writing lesson right now."
Oh my god. Ugh, boomers, am I right?
I loved that.
It was so funny.
Yeah.
I also thought this boy was a girl, and I was disappointed when I found out he was a boy, because I was like, oh, cool, like a cool young
princess. Oh, I did think
princess.
Girl at first, too.
I thought it was, anyway.
And he's like, he's protecting the kid, and she says they're afraid of Minowara blood, which is, we learned this term that is about his ancestors. He says, "I'm not like my ancestors." She says, "That's because you're a good man." So we're like, okay, the show is saying Torunaga is a good man. Mm-hmm. So maybe we can get on his side.
I think so.
And he basically says, "I don't want to be the shogun," when she's trying to suggest it. And she points out this tree that was planted when the kid was born, and it needs a split to grow, and that's you for the boy. That was a little bit silo-y dialogue.
Silo award.
We see they pull people off the ship. Mm. No, they're pulling all the stuff off the ship. And then, yes, we get a guy from the ship being boiled to death. And this was my goriest moment of the week.
This was so sad.
It was so gross.
It was so
horrible.
Gross. It was really, really fucked up. I did not.
Like, that's evil, right? So you're like, oh, this guy's evil.
Yeah, that's evil. And it's so, and then we get this, like, weird explanation for it that he, like, loves the moment of death. Like, he's, like, obsessed with it. Which is so weird. Like, it's so Hannibal Lecter-y. It's a serial killer.
Very Hannibal Lecter-y. And then he, like, makes fun of their last moment. He was remarkable, like everyone else. And then he meets Kiku Dono, the most celebrated courtesan. And she is a sexy lady. And she says, "My duty is to please you in every way." And he kind of yells at his, like, assistant guy. Mm-hmm. For looking at her while she's stripping, and then she starts hooking up with the assistant guy while giving him the eye.
Amazing.
In my horniest moment of the week.
Oof. This?
I mean.
Was her taking him, his hand, and taking her robe off, and taking the power back in this situation was my horniest moment of the week. This was. So
it was very sexy, but also very The Curse, right? I mean, it's like a cucking.
It is
scene.
Very The Curse. It's always related, Lizzie.
It's all connected.
Lizzie, it's never not connected. Why are we even surprised anymore?
We're dealing with cucks in both shows that we're doing right now. How is that possible?
How is that possible? Guys, someone explain this to us, because this keeps happening. And it can only be magic.
We see John in the morning, and he's naked, and he shows his booty as he's getting his surroundings, and he accidentally punches through the door.
That was funny.
And he, yeah. And
so awkward.
He asks this lady, "Where are my boots?" And
which was also funny. Yeah,
yes.
He was very
He's
sexy.
Very funny.
He's
very charming.
He's very sexy. And the women are like staring at him like, okay. Like,
let's go.
I think the women were like into
Blue
it.
Eyes.
Yeah. And we.
Yabushige. That's his name.
Oh, okay.
The
barbarian took a long time to die. We're at breakfast the next morning, and he asks, he was stronger than most Christians. A poem, say a poem about him dying.
Poem.
And his nephew was so uncomfortable with it and, like, doesn't like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he still does it.
And he does a sad, sad poem. And we see John asking to talk to the leader guy with swords. The ladies are ignoring him. And we cut back to the nephew and his uncle, Yabushige, and he's like, oh me, that's the nephew. Mm. And we see him say, like, I'm going to increase your fief because you're such a good poet. And we got FaceTime in. And by the way, we shouldn't tell Toranaga about the barbarians because he's already dead, basically. Why bother him?
Interesting.
They discuss what will happen when Toranaga dies. Mm. There will be war, and then Ishida will be the most powerful, but then he'll have to contend with the Christian lords and the Christian weapons. Mm. Interesting. So that's why people are interested in the barbarian, mm-hmm. possibly.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes sense.
And he loves how smart Omi, his nephew, is. My brother never told me his son was astute, roasting his dead dad. Nice.
Yeah, getting some backstory, setting up the story in a way that is good, though. They're doing exposition so well. Or, like, I enjoy it. Like, I enjoy the exposition.
I did only understand most of this after watching a second time.
Oh, no, that makes sense.
I got it.
Yeah.
Hiromatsu then says, he pulls up in the harbor, and he is talking to Yabushige, and he's like, hey, that barbarian ship we own. And he's like, wait, what do you mean? This is my boss's area. Mm-hmm. And he's like, wait, I thought you were loyal to our Lord Toranaga. Mm-hmm. And he touches his sword. This is more of that, you know, underwriting. Mm-hmm. Subtlety.
Subtlety.
And we see that he then says, oh yeah, I was going to surprise him with it. I definitely wasn't going to take the shit for myself.
Is this when we meet Lord, right? This is,
yes. Then, oh, and they realize Toranaga already knew there's a spy in the village. And then we meet Rodriguez.
Oh, my favorite character is Lord Rodriguez. I love him so much.
He's so good.
This is a character that's also, like, I feel like this is such, like, a classic character, the wisecracking. He reminds me of Peter Dinklage's guy, the guy who fought for Peter Dinklage's character in Game of Thrones. I forget his name. You guys know what I'm talking about.
The guy who fought for him?
Yeah, the guy who, like, he hired to fight for him, and then he was, like, his bodyguard. Mm. I'll send you a gif.
I don't remember. Yeah, send me a gif. We see
I love him.
Rodriguez kind of explains a little bit to John that he's being taken to Osaka, and because Toranaga wants to see him. He's more powerful than any of those people. Mm-hmm. He says some great jokes here. He'll play with your balls, whatever he wants. He's powerful. I might let him. And those other men will die for the honor of wiping Toranaga's ass.
Yeah, he's so funny. I love him. And his acting's amazing. And he's basically like, he's getting him information. We're going to Osaka. How do you say it? Osaka. They're going to Osaka, the big city. And we do see it is so big. They're going to go see this important guy, important lord. Oh, he's like more powerful than those men. He's like, oh yeah, way more powerful. I didn't catch your name, friend. And he's like, I'm Rodriguez. I'm a Spaniard who sails for the Portuguese, and I'm not your friend. Any chance of me boarding my ship, Rodriguez? As soon as you lick my jib, do us both the favor, blow her a kiss. I just love him. I love him.
And also they have like a fun dynamic too.
They do. They're like Shrek and Donkey. Not really.
there's a storm when they're on the boat.
Oh my god.
And
this was so scary.
We see Rodriguez is on to John. He's like, you're a pirate.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah, he's not.
Oh, and then we get this storm, and Rodriguez unties John to help with the storm. He can't swim.
Oh my god.
And we see
And John like, he like
save
he
a guy.
Snaps into action. He is a true pilot of his ship. He saves a guy. He's telling them to row. He sees Rodriguez go overboard. He throws Rodriguez a thing, like a life jacket thing, piece of wood, and then quick he helps them. He's quick on his feet. He's like used to this. This is an environment. This is when we're seeing one of our main characters really thrive. And then they get they go to this island that they wash ashore on. And he's like, we have to find Rodriguez. And they're like, no. And then he's like, yes, we do have to. And they go and they look for him and they find him over this cliff. This was crazy that they literally found him. I can't believe he survived. Cool. And John is like, okay, I'm going to go down there. And they're like, no, you can't. I don't know why they didn't want him to go initially. But then he like challenged.
I think they thought he was going to like K himself. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
But we basically see this dialogue of Yabushige and him back and forth. And he's like, oh, you can't let me go because of your pride. Mm-hmm. The P word. He goes down, the rope rips, and Yabushige falls, and he's trapped by water, and he's about to K himself, but then the backup rope comes, and we see John bow to him once
this moment was so cool. I really thought that I love this moment. I love this whole scene. I love this whole sequence with the ship. It was so exciting. It was so exciting.
Showed you so much about all the characters, yeah. Just like in this little crisis.
So well done, and to show that cultural dip to introduce John to this idea of killing yourself in like for honor or whatever. Like it was so cool to see him realize like, wait, what is he doing? Like what's going on? And then like was like, no, like don't do that impulse. And then that makes him have respect for him. Like you see John actually like be like, oh shit, like you're hardcore. And like,
yeah, like I was eating ropes, but you are another level. We cut to Mariko and Toranaga, and he starts going down memory lane. How long has it been since you married into my family? We've rarely spoken. Thanks for helping. Fuji with the grief the other day. You were a great assistance. I wish I could have done more. And we see she says, we'll die. Well, if you have to seppuku, we will also die with you. So I guess that's a thing.
Yeah.
What, just all his friends have to die?
I guess it's a very dying for people situation, time period. And
yeah.
So she's...
And he wants her to translate the barbarian for him.
And we find out it's been 14 years since her father's death. And he's like, we're 14 years. And 14 years and 3 months. I mean, that means a lot to her. This is basically like, you know, why she was having... wanted to kill herself before she found her purpose again. And he goes, I know it's haunted you. And there's kind of like, he's like kind of obsessed with her.
He's
like super obsessed with her.
He is when he starts in on how long since you married into my family, you're like, okay.
Can I go?
And he goes, And that's so funny.
The barbarian is an enemy of your faith. Are you able to like, is it against, would your loyalty to God conflict with your service to me? And she says this very interesting and psychologically backed up thing, which is that if I were just Christian, yeah, she talks, there's many parts of her. She's Christian, but she has more than one heart.
We cut back to Rodriguez and John, and John is his nurse. He's like, Rodriguez is like, you're a bad nurse. My piss pot is full. And John is reeling from that last scene. That guy was going to kill himself on the cliff. Mm-hmm. And Rodriguez kind of explains, like, he chose his death. And, you know, we can't resist the unseen path of nature. We can just accept our small bit of it. And John's like, I'm not going to die in Osaka. I worked too hard to come here. And Rodriguez is like, that's funny. I thought you washed up by accident. Mm. We know he still doesn't believe him.
And he pulls out the Chekhov's gun that we forgot to mention. No. But in the beginning, they mentioned the rudder. They talk about the rudder, and then he brings it back.
That we forgot to mention.
But he brings it back, and he goes, "I found this, and I know that you fucked over Portugal and Spain, and that you're doing all this shit. And I'm going to tell them." And he's like, "No, don't."
And John tries to hit him with like a coffee pot, but Rodriguez has a gun. Mm. So that wins. And we cut to Osaka is amazing. We see this beautiful shot of the city, and we get this voiceover about who's more powerful, the person who's doing schemes in the open or one you never see. And we cut to Torunaga, and they take the baby to kill. Ugh. And
awful.
We get this description of three hearts. You have one in your mouth for the world to know. You have one in your chest for your friends, and one secret heart buried deep. Mm. And you should never let that one out or you're done. Which is also very unrelatable as, you know, an oversharer.
I agree. I'm like, heart to yourself. What do you mean?
I'm like, wait, what?
You're just supposed to keep the something heart, to yourself?
There's just one, and you just say, keep something to yourself.
I've never heard that. No one's ever told me that before.
How do you do that?
I don't understand. It makes no sense. The human body doesn't.
If I do something embarrassing, like by myself, I have to tell someone. Otherwise, I can't live with the shame.
That's like so funny.
When I shit myself, you know, as an adult, that kind of thing.
You know, as an adult, I think it's really funny when Sarah always says something like, she's always like, she always says something like, don't tell Miles I told you this. And then literally the next day she'll be like, oh, I told Miles. I'm like, I know you never don't tell him. Like when she bought all those extra couches and then she had to hide some at my house for her wedding because
I've already blocked that
Miles
out.
Had said no more couches, you can't buy any more couches.
No,
but then she kept couches. Buying them, so she had to hide them at my place. Or just one.
No.
She talked about it. It was so funny. Anyway,
I mean, it was a great wedding.
Anyway, okay, we got to episode two.
Torunaga gets another letter from a bird, oh my God. And it's very Harry Potter, and you got to keep that heart hidden if you want to survive. And we see John drag through Osaka, and John finally meets Torunaga and Mariko. Such a good ending for the pilot.
Yeah.
Even if it is 300 pages of the book. But I think there's multiple books. I'm not sure. Mm. Okay, episode two. Oh my God, that was an hour.
Okay.
Shoot, we didn't do well.
I know.
We got to give them all nicknames, maybe. I'm like, it's hard. Keep looking up the names.
It's hard because it's like the first one.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's what Game of Thrones was like for me. And I never read that book because I tried and I was just like, this is too many characters. I can't.
It's so hard.
But maybe now that I know who they all are. Episode two, previously on Shogun.
You guys, you just know it all.
And then we cut to Osaka 1 year ago, a funeral, and we basically see the death of the leader and the little child son, who is a little younger, being like, how am I going to find you in heaven? Will you have eyelashes? What about your fingernails? I'm like, damn, you're roasting this. You're down.
I know.
The
I'm like,
deathbed.
Don't say
like,
that.
Leave him alone.
Kids are so, kids.
This was my cringiest moment of the week.
That was pretty cringy.
I mean, he should have been killed.
You know what? They should have killed that child. I'll say it.
Maybe they don't do that. You have to be a certain age to have a faux pas.
I think so. He's like royalty, so it's fine.
He can do what he wants. And he says, when he's dying, he says, life is so funny. It's a dream within a dream. And this was my witchiest moment of the week.
Love that.
He wants to be alone with Torunaga, and everyone leaves the funeral area, and we see, he says, I was too into beautiful women in my life. Remember about our good times.
Yeah, they basically...
Shitting in the same pot.
They
and
do weird bonding.
I wanted to give you Japan if we had taken Korea. There's vultures over me. I have a proposal. I want you to take this title of the leader until the kid is of age. And Toranaga's like, no, then my enemies will be threatened and have the perfect reason to unite and kill me first. And then they'd go after your kid. And he's like, you're wise. That's why I have my backup plan, which is the scroll that I already wrote, which is a plan to have 5 regents. Because we all know 5 is the right amount of people to rule together.
Seems sus, but yeah.
And teach my son that the most important lesson is the greatest height, you're going to be the loneliest. Oh, my.
Interesting.
We get the sand titles, which I really love.
Yeah, this is cool.
The ship going through the sand. we see Rodriguez and the Christians, and they're talking about the rudder, and they're like, Toradaga's thorough. He's going to want a complete translation. And they're like, what do we do about the barbarian? We can't leave his fate with God because he won't. And he knows everything. He knows about Macau. And this is the first we're hearing about Macau specifically. And basically, Martin comes and he says, he ends up visiting John, and Mariko is translating for Toranaga, and she introduces herself to John, and she says she's going to be interpreting, and John basically says, okay, well, I don't think this Portuguese guy is going to translate me right because he's Portuguese. He's my enemy. He learns that word in Japanese as teki. Mm-hmm. And we basically see him explain he's from England and they're in a war with Portugal because they won't be intimidated by Catholics. And we're Protestant, but yes, Jesus is God, clarifying. And he basically says, oh, yeah, and, you know, we're traitors, but the weapons are just in case we needed to defend ourselves.
Mm-hmm. The defense.
And yeah. I can't conceive of you as my enemy. And Toranaga says, I can.
Right.
Then we see Ishido come, and he is like, what? You invited the barbarian to the castle. And then he calls John ugly, says he has a dog's face.
So mean.
And he's like, Martin, he's a heretic, right? He's like, yeah. And they're like,
such an offense.
Escort him to prison.
Yeah. He said, and he's like, the heretic is of no value to me. If it'll please you, I'll have my son escort him to prison. So now he's like, I only wish to keep the peace. So John's going to prison. Our hot guy.
It's not looking good for him. He's just going from worst place to worst place. Worst place,
but he'll get better.
And then, cute moment, we see Mariko and her kid, and they are talking about John's eye color and hair color being wild.
Yes.
Which I thought was really cute.
That was cute.
But then we meet her horrible husband comes in, and he's like, why are you joking with our son? Ugh. Like he's a lady of the court. Ugh. You instantly know he's a dick, and he's asking her about why she was meeting the barbarian, and she's like, oh, it's because of Portuguese. And then he says, why should your mom do anything outside this house in my misogynist moment of the week?
Yeah, this was some bullshit. And then, though, we're vindicated because that guy comes in and he's like, sorry, but the Lord needs Mariko to translate. She's needed, not you. So feminism, bitch. Which was nice.
She's leaving the home again.
Deal with it.
And you look dumb.
You look dumb. And
we see Mariko and Lady Kiri and meet Lady Shizuoka, who's pregnant. And she talks about how she's so pretty and she knew she was cool when she got married. And the lady says, I need as much respect as I can get before I die. And then Toranaga joins and she's like, oh, you're unmanageable. And he says, just like the size of your ass.
So these are all his wives, cute. Right? This is him and his wives.
Wait, are they?
Because remember, didn't he say in the scene, in the last episode, he was like, you have all these wives? Was that to him?
Yeah, like engagements or something. It's a little hard. I posted the chart.
Oh, maybe it's not.
With the family and the alliances and... look, it is tough.
Anyway, but...
I don't see Lady Kiri on here.
So, Toranaga asked her opinion about the barbarian, about John, and she talks about how keeping the Protestant guy alive sows division between Ishido and the Catholic regents. Yeah, so she knows what's up.
Oh, he says his grandchild was born and requested to return to Osaka. I granted permission because it would have been hostile. Can you explain why we should be concerned with the Christian regions?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, because it'll sow the division.
So she's smart. He's like, oh, she's smart. And
we see John in jail, and this guy goes off to be killed and gives him his last food. And then this Portuguese bearded guy is doing last rites for him. And he comes over, and they're able to talk to each other. And he's like, oh, you're in over your head. You don't know their games.
They imprison anyone.
You're with Toranaga. If you're with him, you're dead.
Yeah, like, not giving him any hope here. Giving him not making him feel good. And he
goes through all of the regents and explains who they are. And he's like, Toranaga's the prisoner, Tsuji's the richest samurai fam. Mm-hmm. Ono is a feared warrior. And then there's leprosy guy.
This is like the Mean Girls, like the cafeteria scene in Mean Girls. There's the plastics. Yes. There's the band geeks.
Like a making fun of Mean Girls thing. Yeah. And then there's just the table of the person with leprosy. Ishido's the caretaker of the castle, and he's like, you're never gonna leave Japan alive because of your alliance. We cut to Ishido, and he is getting dressed. He stares at the shogun outfit. There's a lot of staring at the at the war outfits.
Interesting.
And we see this really intricate prep of the room for him to sign these papers. It kind of reminded me of White Lotus a little bit, where you have all the people shuffling in, doing all the stuff for the big important people.
Mm. Yep.
And I love all these little details. There's also I recommend following the Instagram for it, because there's all these behind the scenes things. Ooh. And explanations of why they do that little shuffle walk. You try to look like your body's not moving.
Mm. That's so cool.
A lot of cool, interesting things.
I love that. Oh, I want to look at that.
We then see that he says another piece of business is that the heretic is in prison. But Ishido says we can't overlook that. And they're like, what is there evidence? And he says, I want to vote before we deal with the Christians, and people are fighting about that. And then the leprosy one says that he must die. And we cut to John the beard explaining about Toranaga. I mean, look, there's a lot of exposition.
There's a lot of exposition. These are hard episodes to do all in one.
I am trying.
No, you're doing a great job. You're doing a great job. Yeah, so basically, they decide to kill the barbarian. And they need to kill him. He's like, fine. But Toranaga doesn't want to. And then we're back with him and the priest, and John is...
Domingo.
Yes. And he's basically telling him the Portuguese, he makes, blah, blah, blah. The Portuguese trade has made Japanese lords, some of them really rich, and that gives the Jesuits a high level of influence over all Japan. And basically the guy's like, they don't care about men's souls. It's corrupt. The church is corrupt. They just care about
money. And the church smuggled guns from a secret base in Macau. Mm. And John's like, what? The rulers don't know that? That could be my ticket out of here.
Smart.
And then he's like, you know, you don't know me. And Domingo's like, I've known 1,000 of you. Great line.
Ooh.
And then another beheading. God.
Oh my God, I hate beheading.
It's a horrible,
I don't,
horrible.
That's not how I want to go, Lizzie. If I have a choice.
I don't need to see that.
I'd rather not. Agreed. Yeah.
I don't need to see that.
I don't need to see that. And
I mean, you could just cut away or like show a plant. Like, I don't need to see that.
I know.
We see Martin walking the street, and he talks to this guy Ferreira, who is basically asking for the update on the ship, when it can get out. And Martin's like, oh, yeah, we'll get your business. And he's like, you mean our business? I'm like, oh, okay, there's tensions all around. Mm. We cut to Mariko in the garden, and she has this little weird moment with Martin, and he's like, you're my best student, Mariko.
This was weird.
And
this was like grooming.
It was. It was. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And he asks about her suicidal thoughts, and she's like,
yeah, we're basically seeing how insidious the colonization and the missionaries are to the victims of it, basically. Because it's like, if you show someone a god that they now purposely believe in, like, you're kind of their, or like very intensely believe in now, it's like you're kind of like their god too, or like you have like some sort of like reverence.
And the only communication with like a whole half of the world, like,
exactly. Yeah.
We see then Ishido. Oh wait.
Peter froze.
Okay, it's Ishido complaining about Toranaga. He doesn't know anything about gratitude, and he's pointing out that his family put a stone in the royal palace.
Mm-hmm.
Which was my eat the rich moment of the week.
Mm.
It was very like, my family's name is on that stadium or something.
Oh my God, so much that.
And they're talking about like, what is the significance? Why do they want the barbarian? And it's probably for the guns and uniting our enemies. Okay, I want to say it's Ishido and Yabushige. This is my guess.
Okay.
And they're like trying to decide on.
Yeah, I think that's right.
John? We could do something about how the barbarian's supposed to be executed. And Yabushige is like, I could maybe do something about that. And we end up seeing what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And John is dragged out of the prison. He's praying. And then their whole group gets attacked in the forest, and we reveal it was Feather, Zaddy, Yabushige.
Mm-hmm.
And he then kills all of the bandits that were helping him. Mm-hmm. Literally everyone is dead except for John and this uncle. And he makes John say, I'm a dog.
Ugh,
okay.
This is so...
It's just like, what? Who is that for? It's just for you?
I know. It's so awful. It's so... I hate stuff like that. And, he says...
We then see Toranaga, Yabushige, and John, and they're telling him about the bandits, and Toranaga's on to him. He's like, you have a way of being in the right place. And then Mariko joins, and she has a little cute moment with John. He's like, you should know I'm not Catholic. And Toranaga apologizes for the prison,
mm-hmm.
and... Toranaga asked him to draw a map of the world. That scene we were talking about in the beginning, which was so good.
I loved this. So he is trying to prove to himself, he's trying to save his life. He's trying to prove to them that he is not their enemy. He actually wants to team up with them. He is the enemy of an enemy of my enemy is my friend. And he's trying to do that. And he draws the map in my most unrelatable moment of both episodes. Someone knowing how to draw a map by heart. And
it was such a cool scene.
It was so cool.
Because he's like,
It's again,
it's like in the garden.
It was, and it's like reminding us
what it represents
and like how much information he has. And yeah, and this is when these guys fucking find out they have their whole power, like amidst their whole power struggle, like trying to figure out who's gonna get power and who's whatever. They are now realizing there's something bigger. It's like there's the White Walkers, like the Portuguese and the Spain are the White Walkers. And like, this is like, and that's actually the problem is like, no, like these white people are coming in to be like, hey, we're taking over your country because we think we can. And they're like, what? This scene was crazy because they're like, I'm sorry, what are you talking about?
Tornog is like, how are you going to beat them? There's so many of them. And he's like, you'll have to abandon your war. And he's like, unless I win. And this was my least relatable moment of the week.
Having so much confidence.
Just being like, oh no, I'm going to take down all the Portuguese in Asia.
So funny. That was so interesting. This I loved seeing this. It was such a cool, fun journey watching John get to this point in these two episodes. Like, getting to, okay, he is finally, like, he has clawed his way.
He can, like, pitch himself. Mm-hmm. He has a reliable translator.
Yes, he's now, he's like...
He's bathed once.
Oh, yeah, the bathing thing was so funny.
No, maybe he hasn't.
That was all these little things that are so interesting that we're learning about this time period and these cultures and the difference between the cultures and, like, the East being like, yeah, you have to bathe, and the West being like, gross, bathing. Are you trying to kill me? He literally was like, are you trying to kill me?
Are you trying to kill me?
You're trying to get me to bathe?
Like, relatable king.
And so this was really cool. This was
and
fun Tornaga to see
invites him to stay in the palace tonight.
Yeah, he's
too.
Like, you are my friend now.
Ooh.
Sexy.
It's dangerous with bandits lurking. Mm. Like, fun little joke.
Hello.
And then we get this scene between Mariko and John. And she's like, that's a big gift, the personal quarters. And they're looking at the armor, and she says that he dreamt that armor, and then he made it, and he thanks her, and he's like, she's like, can you bathe? And she's like, I already did. And she's like, in prison? And he's like, no, the village.
So funny.
two showers in 1 week. You want me to catch the flux?
So funny.
Do you know what this was?
No, but probably
flu,
tuberculosis, maybe. I don't know. Some sort of horrible disease.
Good guess.
Yeah. So now he is.
This was very funny, and
I think they're gonna.
He asked her to consider the motives of the priest.
Are they gonna fall? Yeah.
The sexual tension is palpable.
I can't wait.
I mean. They're like, she's basically being told by everyone, he's bad.
He's
a bad guy. And he's like, well, you know what? Maybe your whole worldview is fucked up.
Maybe.
You ever think about that?
You ever think that maybe Protestantism is the right God and your Jesus is different from my Jesus?
Yeah, after all, we have this major difference.
This is our Romeo and Juliet.
Do you know what the difference is? No mass? What is it?
Literally, it is so slight. The differences, I think, are so slight. It's Protestants don't worship saints. They don't have saints, and they don't have, like, a lot of ornate. They're very, like, plain. Mm. Like, their churches are very, like... not they don't have like fancy stuff. Like a Catholic church has like the fanciest shit, like golden stuff, and Protestants are like rejecting that and be like, no, that's not what it's about, which honestly is fair. And but it's like, other than that, the differences are so small. It's basically the same thing, which is why it's so funny that also Ireland was fought over forever between Protestants and because of the English colonized them too. Like, it's just the Protestant of it all versus the Catholic is so unnecessary. It's the most unnecessary conflict of all time. I mean, most conflicts are unnecessary.
I mean, really all of them are.
But this, it just seems so stupid.
Preach, bitch.
It's the same God. It's like you're fighting over the same God that you both believe in. It is so dumb. But anyway, we get to this badass moment.
But also, who cares?
We get to this Kill Bill badass woman assassin.
Oh my god, I loved this.
This was so
didn't see
cool.
this coming.
I love this show.
A lady assassin.
A woman? And not in my show.
And we see there's a badass moment for Toranaga right here where he considering the priest's motives and like not sending the ship out yet.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's like, I'm realizing they might be lying to us.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And Ben, he's just like, yeah, there's so much I don't know. I want to hold off. I'd like to learn more about, you know, all of these things he has to say before further arrangements.
Yeah.
And, oh, I think the Christian guy who's or the Portuguese priest. Guy who's got the yeah. little collar is, I think his name is Del Aqua.
Oh.
I want to say. But he's then complaining, and he's with the regent, who they said was, like, bought off, but religious. Mm. And he's like, the barbarian's not even ruining us slowly. And they're just, like, pissed. And we see John is sleeping. Tornaga is gazing at his swords. And then the lady, badass lady assassin, kills the guard.
Wow.
Kills all the guard. Kills tons
She's
of ladies.
Good at killing.
And KO the maid. And we see Tornaga and John stop her.
He stops her. He saves Tornaga, which is good for his for the rest of his.
He saves Tornaga, and they kill. Push her into the Serenity Sand, and they realize that the assassin came for John because he had switched places with him. And it's not from Ishido. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Okay, wow.
I mean, so much intrigue.
Guys.
Thanks for bearing with me on
no, I'm
coughing
sorry.
Out some of these sentences.
I feel I was not as, I need to have get do better next time because I think I didn't, I think I need to do better with notes and, because I don't think
I watched it twice.
Okay, yeah.
And I literally.
Guys, I will be better
had
next time.
Had the thing recording the dialogue. It's dense. It's dense.
It's dense. Like, this is. Was also our getting our, or this was at least me getting my, getting my sea legs in the show, but I will mm-hmm. be way better next episode. I'm going to memorize everyone's
no,
names.
No, and we're doing this is our second in a row too.
Yes, but thank you guys.
We are going to do
love this show. I'm so
three
excited.
Tomorrow, and then four will be out Wednesday. I know the show is so good. That sexual tension between Mariko and John.
Ooh, I can't wait, Lizzie. That's going to be a slow burn.
They're both so hot.
They're both so hot.
And such good actors.
Oh, I'm so excited. Yeah.
And like, she's the only one who can translate. She has to go with him everywhere.
She has to hang out with him. I have not been excited for a show like this since I feel like we're getting House of the Dragon back. Like, I'm so excited.
Totally.
This is
oh my gosh.
So
I was looking
great.
Up when all that stuff comes back. All those seasons aren't until like 2025.
2025?
They're just like,
oh, I guess because of the strike.
Like most of the shows we've covered are not coming back for so long.
I say my Severance.
Even Severance, it got the writer's strike and we got some time.
No.
But
anyway,
I mean, this is a great show.
It's great.
I'm feeling so excited about it.
Yay.
We have all the confidence of it being a book.
Yes. We love that it was a book. We have to figure out what are we going to say?
Club, so.
What is exactly?
Oh yeah.
What is it going to, what are we going to, okay.
Ooh, what were the best lines? Unless I win.
Ooh, unless I win.
Yeah, sound off in the 5-star reviews if there is a line you think makes more sense for our outro. That. It doesn't feel right yet, but
it doesn't
maybe.
Feel right, but we'll find it.
But I love that line.
But it does get into, it does get the spirit of the
Yes,
thing.
And it's like Toranaga's in that.
Yeah.
They're both underdogs, him and John.
I think it's good.
I mean, that's kind of like a positive affirmation.
I think that's nice. That's actually good. That
nice.
Takes care of our affirmation.
Yeah. Like, what if you just think about the good possibilities,
yeah.
you know?
We're such optimists.
What if?
This is a self-help
says
podcast.
That all the time. Okay, bye. I love you.